I am never gonna be the same again after finding out what I just found out. And after watching this video, you're never gonna be the same either. Sorry about that. Have you all ever heard about this? The Human Meat Project, People for People? I thought this was a joke until I started digging some more and realized this is real and it gets worse. One body can feed up to 40 people. Together we can end world starvation, overpopulation, and climate change. Why donate? Over time, the human population has increased rapidly across the globe, leading to a higher demand for food, especially meat products. With this increasing demand, land for residential areas has become more difficult to find, and emissions from farms have risen every year, making the lives we lead less sustainable. We believe that by donating bodies and/or organs, we can make a change by creating alternative meat consumption options while addressing the value of a person's body. Y'all, they have this end date where you can decide when you want to go in before you get harvested.
What?
I'm gonna pause on this. Y'all read this. And here's some meat products that you can choose from.
I can't. I literally can't.
This can't be real. This can't be real. This can't be real. God, I'm ready to come home. Whenever, just any day now if you want. I'm ready. These people are crazy down here. They're crazy. I can't do this. This is crazy. Is that normal? Do you guys think that's normal? Human meat?
What?
So now cannibalism is normal?
What?
First they changed pedophilia to be minor attracted persons, and now cannibalism? Eating human meat?
Mm-mm. RNA vaccines to target the influenza virus. That's because, guess what? A lot of the most severe influenza outbreaks that we experience as people actually come from animals, right? Zoonotic disease. So specifically the swine flu and avian flu. And so this is the interesting thing. So the concept is, if you vaccinate these animal species, they're not going, in theory, so, and this is a concern too, because we haven't seen so far that messenger RNA vaccines are capable of preventing infection. But the concept would be that we vaccinate these animals, and if they can't get infected with the influenza virus, then they can't infect us with the influenza virus. So my concern though is, if you put in messenger RNA vaccine, let's take chickens for example, if we vaccinate chickens with the messenger RNA vaccine against the influenza virus, and some of that ends up being packaged in the eggs, and then we consume those eggs. People don't realize there's a concept called oral tolerance. Oral tolerance, it's an immunological mechanism whereby our immune system learns to not respond to things that we consume. The purpose is, we don't want to be mounting immune responses against their food. So this prevents things like food allergies. It prevents things like chronic intestinal inflammation, things like Crohn's disease. So we call it oral tolerance. So things that you consume, generally speaking, our immune system will learn not to respond to it. So now think about this. So if we are unknowingly consuming vaccines directed against the influenza virus, especially if those vaccines cause in our gastrointestinal tract the antigens to be expressed. So for example, against influenza virus, there's the theoretical risk we could be tolerizing ourselves against the influenza virus. And one of the ways in order to make oral tolerance work actually is to administer these antigens, in particular what often works well are low doses. Low doses. Can you imagine? So this is a legitimate scientific concern. If we start loading up animal species with this and we start risking tolerizing ourselves, can you imagine if we start tolerizing people unwittingly against influenza virus? What that means is that our immune systems, if we were to be infected with the influenza virus, our immune system would not recognize it as a dangerous foreign pathogen, but actually recognize it as something that should not be responded to. That would actually make people highly susceptible to severe influenza.
tech companies are trying to, and before Musk on Twitter, Twitter was, they're trying to use massive power, massive ability to shape the narrative to enforce orthodoxy and to marginalize dissenting views. And so the orthodoxy they want is not your values or my values. I can tell you that right now. And so you know and you see it. And so this was one thing, they're talking about Hunter Biden, but there's 100 other examples that they're going to be able to show. And how they marginalized people that were speaking the truth on COVID was really, really damaging. And it ended up killing people because people would tell the truth and they would get deplatformed on Twitter. We're also going to be doing some stuff because I have a Surgeon General in Florida, Dr. Joseph Latifo. Who's been really, really strong of just fighting back against the narrative and the phony things that people are trying to do and focus on the evidence. And so, you know, we are going to work to hold these manufacturers accountable for this mRNA because they said there was no side effects. And we know that there have been a lot. And so we did a study in Florida and you saw an 86% increase in cardiac related activity from people 18 to 39 from mRNA shots. And so we're gonna be doing some stuff to bring accountability there because I think it's just something where, we wouldn't let them mandate on you in Florida. You know, we said, you know, no, because like Orange County wanted to fire firefighters, Gainesville wanted to fire people, but even the corporations like Disney wanted to fire. So we said no across the board. So everybody had the ability to opt out of anything they were trying to impose on you. But there are other people around the country that got forced to take this. And then what? They're not allowed to sue or get any type of recourse when this is not something that they wanted to do. So this is something that we're going to lead on in Florida. So we're going to have probably some announcements over the next 3 or 4 weeks on that.
هاولي البيطرول ها املك دراهم البلاد وانا ما يروحوا شو لي مليار راهم يتفردوا ولا هنا ها هذا ما قدروش يخدموه ولا وشنو
acids. These are bases in the structure of a DNA chain. By modern scientific standards, these are classified as A, T, C, and G. We'll talk about that in a moment. There is a sulfuric bridge that sometimes appears in the structure to hold the DNA chain together. The pattern of the bridge is 10 acids and then a bridge, 5 acids and then a bridge, 6 acids and then another bridge, and then 5 acids and then finally the pattern continues. 10, 5, 6, 5. 10, 5, 6, 5. This happens trillions of times inside of your cells. What does this mean in ancient Hebrew? You see, in ancient Hebrew, every single letter is a number. And this doesn't take mystical Kabbalah. It doesn't take any kind of mystical gematria, as people have told us that we should use gematria and Kabbalah to understand the numerical values in Hebrew. No, this exists right in the Hebrew text. It exists right in the Psalms, right throughout the scriptures. You see that Dawid or David numbered his Psalms with the Aleph Beit. Every single letter in alphabet of Hebrew is a number. And this is a biblical fact. Very important to understand. And in the scriptural Hebrew, in the ancient Hebrew and in the modern Hebrew, which is currently spoken even to this day, it is well known that the letter 10, or number 10 rather, which it is a letter, is Yod. That the 5 is He. That the 6 is Waw. And that the 5 is He. Over and over and over within your cells, trillions of times, we see the pattern Yod, Hey, Wow, Hey, Yod, Hey, Wow, Hey, which is pronounced Yahuwah. This is the sacred name of the creator of the universe, appearing nearly 7,000 times in the ancient Hebrew text referred to as the Tanakh by Jews and the Old Testament by Christians.